If you started doing any holiday shopping, you know that finding the right gifts can be harder than finding a goldfish in some sort of Hong Kong Cirque du Soleil. That is, unless you're shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need this holiday season and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA, or simply just click the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's going to be running a little bit behind because I took the wrong ferry to get here. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our amazing race for Hap-Up after a stunning, amazing race here on Friday night, December 4th, 2015. And now here's the woman who never gets on the wrong boat. Here is the great Haymaker Hattie, Jessica Lease.
Hey, Rob. Didn't read your clue, did you?
I did not. Jessica, wow. This was a stunning episode on a number of levels, probably the biggest of which was that it was an elimination episode after it was final four the last two seasons, and we expected it was going to be the final four teams racing in the finale this season. We got blindsided by an elimination for the first time in I don't know how long.
Yeah, they're keeping us on our toes. This is pretty crazy.
I really thought that it was going to come down to, okay, cheerleaders, well, you're last, but keep racing. Here we go, baby.
Yeah, right up until, like, he didn't pull any punches either. He was right into it. You guys are out. You're eliminated. Bye-bye.
Boom. Boom. So really, that was a gut punch leg for the cheerleaders, where they entered going in. They were in first, and we'll talk about all that. But really, Krista, who we've had fun watching all season long, I mean, she was in the elevator with Logan and she was like, boy, I hope it's not just jumping off the thing. I hope they actually make this hard, but so it's not just so easy.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Hubris got a little too cocky on The Amazing Race. That's the sign of downfall.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. So that was just a very emotional leg for the cheerleaders, for Tiffany and Krista. We'll talk about all of that, and a very harrowing leg for the green team. A first place finish for Logan and Chris. Another second place finish for the team reporters. What else is new? We'll cover all that and more here on our amazing race for Hap-Up.
That's a lot of ground to cover. I can't believe there's so much to talk about here.
There's a lot to talk about going into next week's episode, which is the finale, back to a final three. And we'll try to figure out exactly what's going to happen. Should be an exciting episode next week. Of course, we've got the chat room open here on robhasawebsite.com. We're going to take your tweets, hashtag RHAP, and then again on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. And I wasn't planning on this, but looks like we're going to have an exit interview coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
How about that?
Put it in your calendar, Rob. I mean, like you're saying, it's better than having to do like six in one day.
Yeah. So it is going to be a very exciting week coming up with The Amazing Race, because we'll have our exit interview and then there'll be the finale on Friday, and then we'll talk to the final three teams all the following Monday here on the podcast. So lots of stuff going on. So Jess, really, how big of a blindside was this for you? Because nobody follows this stuff closer than you do. On a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked were you that there was an elimination tonight?
I was like a 9 out of 10. I was so, like, I had it figured out in my head. I've been reading the edit. I had it all mapped out. I'm like, okay, this is going to be a win for the reporters. Justin and Diana are going to bring up the rear, and they might take a penalty, but then it's going to be a non-elimination leg at the end, and I was wrong about every single thing.
Yeah, it really was a wild night on The Amazing Race, because, you know, Justin and Diana, they were really, I thought that they were going to get screwed. It seemed like from the coming attractions that you figured Justin and Diana were going to have trouble tonight. But I thought the trouble was going to come when they're the only team to pick the cell phone task. When you have Sam or Cell, they're the only team that picks Cell. Jess, Team Green, we know that Justin, he's an Amazing Race super fan. Didn't that really surprise you? They went with the completely luck-based task.
That did surprise me a lot, because that's the kind of thing I would look at that. I would nope on out of there. You could not pay me enough to tackle the blind luck task. Like, that's just not happening. And that's got to be one of the JL rules. Something where you're finding a needle in a haystack, you got to avoid that at all costs.
I mean, the Taylor job or the Taylor task seemed like it was going to be challenging, but it seemed like that there would be a, you know, finite amount of time it was going to take to do that and then bang that out and then move on. Whereas that cell phone task, I mean, that really could have taken you all day if you didn't find the cell phone. It seemed like they got very lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I just think back, and the longtime fans of Amazing Race are going to know what I'm going to say here. And it's one word, it's hay bales.
Right.
Because there is a very famous task where someone was stuck out in a field unrolling hay bales for 8 hours. And you do not want to be that person.
We've seen that more recently as well with a bunch of different things. Was it only last season with the clog task?
Yeah, there was the clogs. That was a more recent example of that.
And that wasn't even quite luck. I think you had to find the matching clog, but there was definitely a challenge there. But also going back to the first leg of the great Whitney and Keith season, right, where we had the teams had to go ahead and find the thing that was buried in the sand dunes.
Well, that wasn't luck. That was skill. That was people not being able to read a compass. And that was
several
teams.
I'm not talking about digging up the treasure. I'm talking about when they had... Well, maybe it was, you know, maybe it wasn't that leg. Maybe it was, I'm thinking of a different season. The season
where...
You're thinking
of the season 22 with the sandcastles.
Right, right. Okay, I got my beach tasks confused. Yeah, the sandcastles.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of the same outcome for both of those seasons. I can see where you'd get confused. Lots of sand, lots of digging.
Right.
Yeah, but I won't have you disparaging Whitney and Keith, Rob.
Right, but in both of those tasks, though, didn't like a couple teams say, like, okay, let's just give up and let's take the time penalty in both of those tasks? Is that where I got it confused?
Yeah, that's where you got it confused. That exact same thing happened both times.
Okay, so I'm not a total idiot about that. Only a partial idiot.
You're always 100% non-idiot to me, Rob.
Thank you, Jessica.
So that was idiotic. Okay.
Anyway, so Justin and Diana, they end up getting pretty screwed over by a taxi. Is there anything that an Amazing Race team can be doing? Like, is it this kind of thing where you go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, you got 6 weeks to live. And it's like, okay, well, let me get the second opinion on that. When the guy says, okay, boy, this next place is 45 minutes out of the way.
Yeah. I think honestly, if he says it's 45 minutes out of the way, you got to kind of second guess that. And if you can't communicate with your cab driver and you're not sure that he's going the right way and he seems pretty clueless, you got to hop out of that right away.
So what do? You get out of the cab and you just look for another one, even though we've heard many times during this season of the Amazing Race, it's very hard to find the cabs.
I think it depends on where you are. Someplace like Hong Kong, I think they're in the downtown area. Cabs are going to be easier to come by than if they're in, you know, Zimbabwe.
Okay. So you get out of the cab and you just start off with a brand new person, or are you just getting a second opinion and telling that cab driver to hold on?
Yeah. Or if he doesn't know where he's going, you say, we stop, we get directions. Like, basically do what the cab driver did. Find some place that's definitely going to know where it is.
Okay. And so for Justin and Diana, that was a big mistake in your mind?
Yeah, I don't know that it was necessarily a mistake. It was bad luck, certainly. Like, there have been bad cab drivers all across the way. There's only a finite number of things you can do to mitigate that.
Well, wouldn't you say that it was bad luck that they got the bad cab driver? But it sounds like by your own rules that you want to at least cross-reference that. Wouldn't that be a bad skill part of it where you're not double-checking?
I think that's something you can do to mitigate that risk. I wouldn't say it's a hard and fast rule. I think there have been plenty of teams that have, you know, stopped to ask directions too many times and paid the price for it. And there have been teams that have completely blindly trusted their cab driver and gotten first place because of it. So I think there are things you can do, like you can be overcautious, I think, but it never hurts to double check.
All right, let's talk about Sam the Tailor, because Sam the Tailor is world famous around the world, has designed suits for U.S. presidents, for actors, people all over the place. Just how the hell does anybody famous find this hole-in-the-wall Sam's in Hong Kong?
He is on the internet, Rob.
Is that true?
That is true. In fact, I know this because several years ago, my husband had to go to Hong Kong on business, and I was bugging him, get a suit, and I Googled, like, where you go to get the suit. And I swear to God, that is one of the things that came up.
Yes.
He did not get a suit.
Wow. Okay. So I actually get my suits from Sam through his club. And that's where I go and get, yes. I get all of my suits there.
You buy a bale of them?
Yes. Yes. I bought them in 2003.
Awesome.
But just, so they had to go ahead and make the suits, but it was just sort of like, cut the fabric out of the suits and then give it to Sam and then like leave with it, right?
Yeah, but there was skill involved with that too.
Yeah.
Like, that was not just, you don't just like slap the pattern down and cut the things out. As we observed, if you have to cut two of something, you fold it over and you put the pattern down. That's sewing 101.
You would have known that?
I would have known that.
Yeah. Okay, well, for Logan and Chris, it did not come easy tonight in there that they really, that Chris knew.
We got to talk about Chris's weird pockets of life experience. That guy has done some kind of odd things.
He knew, and Logan didn't listen to him.
Yeah.
And then he didn't drop it. He did not drop that forever.
Yeah, well.
He really got hung up on that. But I said, if you would have listened to me, I would have said, you said.
Yeah, and you know, he's probably only right a few times a day, so he's got to really relish that.
He was like a dog with a bone on that. I said, and you didn't listen to me.
Yeah, you know what that, you know who that reminded me of, actually.
What was that?
He's like Neil Haley.
It's funny. And so most of the teams pretty much got through. Sam's pretty uneventful. They got through it, and the cheerleaders were out in front, and then we had Justin and Diana going through everything. With the cab, they come back, they realize that it was a very close thing that they needed to go to. So then everybody has to get on the ferry. The three other teams, they're all on the ferry. They're supposed to get on. But for Justin and Diana, Jess, how big of a sin is this in your mind, according to The Amazing Race, to board the wrong ferry?
Now, Rob, if you want to talk about ways that you screw up, like what you can mitigate and what is skill and what is luck, this is pure skill. This is read your clue. Clue said you had to go to the Hong Kong ferry. If that dude's only like bent on giving you directions to the Kowloon ferry, you got to go find somebody else to give you different directions. And this is something like, especially Justin has seen people screw up on the ferry in Hong Kong before, because it's happened in at least two different seasons of Amazing Race that I can remember. And he should know that he needs to do exactly what the clue says, go exactly where the clue says to go, or he's going to open himself up to getting that penalty.
So what's happening here? So we've had the green team, Justin and Diana, that they've had such a good race so far. They're always in first. It's been pretty much, if not low stakes, maybe low pressure because they've been out in front. It's almost like they're racing against themselves each leg of the race. And now here they are with a real chance to get eliminated. Are they just playing on tilt at that point?
Yeah, I think they got shaken up pretty badly and they didn't know how far behind they were, because they're the only ones that did that other detour. And you can see that Justin does not necessarily handle stress very well. It's like the second something goes wrong, he goes full Steven and he starts, you know, blubbering.
Full Steven? You never go full Steven.
I'm saying, just like, you know, tears and ugly cry all over the place. And, you know, this is my chance to, you know, prove something to the world and I'm not going to do it. And it's like, dude, you got in the wrong cab. You're half an hour behind. Get over it and move on.
Yes, I don't think he went full Steven. I didn't hear any Macbeth tonight.
True, true. We didn't hear any poetry. We need someone to misquote Shakespeare and then you will have gone full Steven.
I do have to say, I thought it got a little uncomfortable in the cab with Justin and Diana.
It did.
Where Justin was, pouting a little bit. And then Diana's like, come on, let's just take it easy. And he's like, what? He can't understand me. He doesn't know that I'm pissed. And then they cut to super awkward cab driver. He was really, he knew what was going on, the cab driver.
It's a shame, a limitation of the podcasting medium, that people that are not watching this live are not going to see you make that face, Rob.
That guy knew what was going on. You don't have to speak the language to know when the couples are fighting.
And when they're talking about you.
Yeah. And so then Justin's like, no, what you're doing isn't helping. And she's saying, no, what you're doing isn't helping. And they went back and forth. Ultimately, they end up not fighting with each other too much on this leg of the race, because we get to who wants to, what is this? Who wants to
rise
to the occasion?
Yeah.
Who wants to rise to the occasion, Jess?
And it seemed to me that this was kind of a no-brainer in the roadblock department, because I think every single person that did that roadblock was locked into it. I didn't look at the roadblock counts, but I think, I think that was true of Chris and Logan, and I think it was true of just about everybody else, that mathematically they had to do it. So not much of a question there. Yeah.
It just is crazy that Krista was headed towards okay, they're going to be in this big show. And she's like, oh, this is dancing. This is in my wheelhouse. And just saying to Logan, I hope it's not so, it's super easy. I mean, it's going to be I hope they at least make it a challenge so that, you know, we can get ahead of some of these other teams.
Yeah, that was hubris in action.
Yeah. And so ultimately, the karma rears its ugly head here. Now, Jess, did you quite understand what the difficulty was for the people once they jumped in the water?
Well, Rob, this is something, it's funny, this is a skill. If I was ever going on Survivor, this would be something I would practice, because you see it happen on Survivor way more often than you do on The Amazing Race, where you have to dive down and grab something and bring it back up. And if you've ever tried to do this without goggles, it's not easy in a public pool with like sunlight streaming down on top of you. And it's got to be even less easy when you're in a darkened theater with bubbles coming up from the bottom and smoke and weird colored lights. I can see where she was having trouble.
Yeah.
So I think it was interesting that it took her longer to grasp it than everybody else. And I'm not sure exactly what was going on there, except maybe that she got flustered and she remembered how cocky she had been before. And it just kind of, everything comes together. And the more you don't get it, the more insurmountable it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like Justin and Diana, once they're falling behind, then it's like, okay, now they're not reading the clue. They're really playing on tilt. You have to think that Krista, at the point where everybody else gets it on the first try and she doesn't get it, and it's like, okay, well, if I don't get it now, I'm going to be totally screwed. And then it just becomes worse and worse. And eventually when Diana gets in the pool and she gets it, you have to really feel like she felt the entire game slipping away at that point.
Yeah, the stakes are probably the highest that they're ever going to be at any point on the show, barring like the very final match. And you know as well as I do that the last few final legs have not exactly been suspenseful barn burners in that arena. So this is really the highest pressure you're going to experience on the entire race, where you know that the last elimination point is right up in front of you. And you're screwing up and you're not getting this and people are passing you.
So it was a very tense exercise each time they went down, because, you know, they're going down under the water and you don't know if they're going to come back and get it. And there's like a ticking clock for each round of this. So I did think that there was a lot of excitement in this last half hour of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, it was literally heart pounding. Like, I honestly did not know what was going to happen. I kept revising my prediction and I kept being wrong. So that's exciting.
Finally, Justin and Diana show up. And here they are, and Diana, I guess, is scared of heights, but she has to go through with it. She's sort of locked in. And then ultimately, they pass Krista in the water. Seemed like that there was some bad blood there, as I think that Justin was cheering, I guess, rather loudly for Diana. And then Krista was pissed when he said good luck to her.
Yeah, there are a lot of times on this race where I could absolutely understand someone being upset with Justin, and I would say it was, you know, justified. But this time it felt a little bit petty, and I just know emotions were running high. Like I said, it was a very stressful situation, and I can imagine that Justin running off and like clearly conveying the sense of, oh wow, we're not going to be last and you're going to be last, good luck with that. I think he meant it genuinely in the moment, but I think that's not what they heard, and that's understandable too.
Yeah. How did you think Tiffany was doing with the pep talk?
That was some like Gene Hackman and Hoosiers stuff. Like that was some Sierra Easton and Tribal Council stuff.
Come on, you can do this. Let's go.
I know you can do this. You're going to do this. You're literally carrying your family on your back. You're going to do this.
That was good. That's why they're cheerleaders. They bring the cheering.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody knows how to pep talk, it's got to be the cheerleaders.
Okay, so then it comes down to the big shocker. Now, we saw in the coming attractions Phil saying, oh, this is, I bet you didn't see that coming. And you know, I personally don't like it when we tease things that are happening like in the last 5 minutes of a CBS reality show. That's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. But so we knew there was going to be some excitement. And Jess, was it very clear to you a penalty was on the horizon?
Yeah, it was the second that the guy said to them, well, you should go to the Kowloon Ferry, it's closer. And they kept asking directions to the Hong Kong Ferry. Like, yeah, that's not going to, they're going to have a bad time with that.
Yeah.
And especially having seen this before with, I think it was Charla and Mirna in season 11. They were in Hong Kong and it told them to get the Star Ferry on Hong Kong Island and to take that to Kowloon. And they got in a cab. They said, we need the Star Ferry to Kowloon. And the guy drove him to Kowloon. And they had to go back and get on the ferry and come back again so that they could have technically taken the ferry. And there was so much time spent on that. And that's such a great season. I can't believe that didn't occur. to Justin in the moment.
Too pumped up. Too much adrenaline.
Too much adrenaline and too much. I think maybe he was dehydrated after all the tears he had shed.
Well, that's possible too.
Indeed.
So we end up with then back at the mat. So, okay. So Logan and Chris check in first. Jess, did you notice anything different about Logan and Chris this week?
They weren't yelling at each other quite as much.
At the tailor, certainly.
At the tailor, they yelled at each other, but they kind of pulled it together. And Chris was super intense, like more so than usual. What was the difference that you noted, Rob? I want to hear.
Well, I feel like that they were getting close to the money. They're only, you know, one leg away now. And I think it certainly helped that they didn't have to necessarily work together on the roadblock where Logan was able to just go do it. And they were sort of separated for a while. She aced it on the first try and came out. So I feel like there's not a lot to complain about at that point.
Yeah, I guess so. Like their lives were fine.
Yeah, they were feeling pretty locked in. I mean, if you're fighting during the first place finish, and you know, God knows we've seen Justin and Diana do it this season at times, but it feels like that not a lot to fight about when things are going well.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think it's interesting because maybe Logan and Chris are just kind of like the bizarro version of Justin and Diana, whereby we've only seen them be nasty to each other because they've only ever been like second tier racers. Now that they're up in the front, they're, you know, as functional as Justin and Diana are on their best day. Justin and Diana hit some adversity, all of a sudden they are the new Logan and Chris.
Yeah. It's going to set up a very exciting showdown because now we have some bad blood, cue the Taylor Swift going into this final three where you have the photographers and you have Justin and Diana who there is no love lost there. And then you have the reporters who are just sort of like the agnostic team in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough spot to be in, but
I feel like that's the ideal spot to be in.
Yes and no, because we've seen the reporters kind of try to get into that before, like try to, you know, be part of the rivalry. And,
hashtag puppet master.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen that. And I don't think there's necessarily, I think the show is trying to set this up as like good and evil. And I think we're still getting a Joey and Kelsey win. But I feel like all the rivalries that they've thrown at us this season have been pretty one-sided.
Okay. So if you see this as good versus evil, so you're saying you see Joey and Kelsey as the team being positioned as the good team?
Yeah, the heroic team that's, you know, been second place for six legs in a row, and they just want that one first place. It's the only leg that matters. It would be pretty ironic if they finished in second place, and I would think that was pretty funny, but
always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
I think they keep hammering it home because their day is going to come. And their day is going to be next week.
All right. So then if you see this as good versus evil, who's evil? Justin and Diana and Logan and Chris?
I think so. I think Justin and Diana have definitely not gotten a winner's edit. And Logan and Chris have gotten even less of a winner's edit. I think we have literally seen every single time they've had an unkind word to say to each other on this entire race.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, they, you know, that's probably not a wholly inaccurate portrait of what their dynamic is, but it's also not flattering.
All right, so going into next week, that's going to be very exciting. But when we got to the mat, so here comes Justin and Diana, and they were sort of like relieved, and it's like, okay, babe, don't worry, we got this. We'll get them next time. Look, we'll come in first place next leg. Let's just go check in and, you know, call it a day. And then Phil says, you took the wrong ferry. So that's a 30-minute penalty. And on top of that, that ferry is 25 minutes quicker, so you get a 55-minute penalty. Jess, did you feel like that was too harsh or not harsh enough?
Well, I thought it was kind of a callback to old Amazing Race. This is not a penalty that we've seen in a very long time. In early seasons, teams who took the wrong transportation would get that kind of penalty. They would calculate, like, how much time did you gain? And we're going to penalize you for some time on top of that, plus the time you gained. And famously, there was a team in, I think, season six who took a cab somewhere and they were supposed to walk, and they arrived in third and they ended up being knocked out. And this is really early leg. So this is something that used to happen a lot, not so much anymore. So I was kind of delighted to see that happen.
It made for a very tense last 10 minutes of the show.
Yes. Very, very tense. And also Phil was way too delighted by all of this. He was like, you can barely contain his glee. He's like, oh my God, you guys are team number three, but I can't even, you guys can't check in yet. You got to go over there.
I don't think Phil said I can't even.
I think Phil could not even. And he let all the other teams sit there and watch them wait out their penalty for an hour. And they never let the other teams just hang out on the mat for an hour. Why did he do that if not to rub salt in the wound?
So you think that you're calling a foul on the Amazing Race that they let the reporters and the photographers sit there and watch Justin and Diana suffer?
Yes, I am. Like, nobody was even getting proposed to. That's usually when they let people stick around. But no, it was just like, we're just going to stand here and heckle Justin and Diana while they wait out their 55-minute penalty.
Yeah, that is funny. And so they really were like, we are so screwed. And Phil, even, you're right. He's like, bet you didn't see that coming.
He's been taking lessons from Jeff Probst.
Yeah, he really did take a lot of pleasure in this.
Yeah, maybe he was just getting bored. And maybe he, you know, he's been watching Justin and Diana check in first for so many legs in a row. It might not have anything to do with who they are as people. He might just be happy that something's happening that wasn't telegraphed.
Yeah. And so very, very fun to watch. And Justin and Diana, they really, well, we're so screwed that the time, it just looked like there was a lot of time on that clock, like 35 minutes, 30 minutes. But did the cheerleaders then get screwed by bad taxiing themselves at the end?
I can never tell, like, how much bad taxiing there ever is. It looked like maybe they had a taxi that it could have been the difference. It looked like they were not that far behind. And I've been trying to figure out how far it was that they were behind. And I do not know for sure. But it seems like if they had a taxi driver that went even like a little ways out of the way, they might have, that might have been the difference. But also, you know, this is something we're talking about. This is a gamble. This is something you can try to mitigate. We were talking about this earlier. They did get out of their cab and try to find a different cab. Mm-hmm. And we don't know for sure if that cab knew where he was going or not.
Yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
So this is why I say it is, really. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Let's just have a cliche off.
Yeah. Jess, how did you think it was going to play out as you were watching that? Did you think that Justin and Diana were going to get eliminated because, or at least come in fourth because of this?
I thought, I was 100% sure they were coming in fourth. And I was equally sure it was going to be non-elimination. So
yeah, I thought
this was a really shocking outcome.
I thought that they were probably going to come in fourth, but it was going to be non-elimination. And then towards the end, it's like, okay, well, all right, they're going to come in third. And then the cheerleaders will come in fourth and it'll be non-elimination. But really, kudos to The Amazing Race. Because we do beat up on this show when they don't have the teeth. And it's like, oh, it's another non-elimination leg. You're saved again. And it's like, what the point? What was this point? We wasted an hour tonight. There was a U-turn and it was non-elimination. But I will say, while we take no pleasure, unlike Phil, in seeing a team go home tonight, I do have to give credit to the show for at least, you know, paying us off for watching an hour of this show tonight, because somebody went home and it was high stakes. And that's what we come to watch on reality TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, by the same token, there was one thing we knew without a doubt was not going to happen, just based on the previews that they were hammering over our heads all week long. We would see this shot of like Justin crying his manly Justin tears and like curling up on the ground. And Jill said, bet you didn't see that coming. The one thing I knew was absolutely not happening this week. The green team was not going home.
So with the green team's third place finish, there goes the chance to win 9 legs of the Amazing Race. They'll have to settle for a tie if they can win with Dave and Rachel for 8 legs of the Amazing Race. Did you feel like that was good karma or bad karma when Justin started talking about the record again at the end of the episode?
I think we've seen people get obsessed with the record before and it never goes well for them. Like, we know how that turned out for Jim and Misty.
Yeah.
Like, Jim, with all his talk about here's the four fingers and here's the thumb and here's second place, Jim and Misty.
Right. So, not good. Don't chase the record.
Yeah. You know, just keep your eyes on the prize. And the only leg that matters is the last one. It'd be nice to have that tie, but, you know, like Joey and Kelsey said, they got like 7 honeymoons.
Okay. So. All right. So, Jess, do you want to start digging into the questions? Do you want to preview the finale a little bit? What do you want to do?
I think we can dig into the questions because I'm sure people are going to have questions about the finale.
All right. Before we get into the questions, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are friends over at True Car, because finding the right price of a brand new car can be very tricky, just as tricky as finding a fish underneath the water on The Amazing Race. And if you're looking for a brand new car, maybe you're not looking for a Rolls Royce to bring around like on The Amazing Race. Those were some sweet cars though, Jess, right?
Yeah, those cars were pretty awesome. I'm sure there's True Car if you're looking for a Rolls Royce, but even if you're not, it's there too.
Yeah. And so if you want to go ahead and pick out all the features that you want in your brand new car, so you don't have to rely on these horrible taxi drivers, you can go ahead and pick out everything you want, all those features, and see what other people are paying for that same car down to the zip code on True Car or the True Car mobile app. People have saved on average over $3,000 off of MSRP without any hassles or headaches. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in the network. You'll work directly with a True Car Certified Dealer when you visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car app and start saving. True Car, never overpay. Okay. Of course, we have our questions coming to us via Twitter, via our YouTube channel, and of course, we'll take some questions as well in the chat. So let's go ahead and fire some of them up. Here we go. Jeremiah Yap wants to know, Jess, how did this leg compare to previous legs held in China for you?
I thought that this was actually one of the more interesting ones. I think it's really hard, and we talked about this a little bit when they go back to India so many times. It's hard to find different things that you can do in the country that you've been to 10 times that will make it exciting and add suspense. And I don't think they thought the roadblock was going to be hard for anybody, but it sure was visually interesting, and it was something that we've never seen before. So I really liked that part of it. The detour was a little and it seems like these are things that we've seen before a million times, but
we've seen find a cell phone.
We've seen find a small thing in a bucket of other small things. We've seen that like 11 billion times. So yeah. And we've seen cut things out from a pattern. We saw that in season 24, like most recently. So
fair enough. Okay. So then let's take another question. This is from Nick Sonis, who says that when Phil described tonight's pit stop, he said the last team to check in will be eliminated. Did you catch that tonight, Jess?
Yes. Sometimes Phil says that. That's not the first time he said that. And it may not even be the first time he said that this season. Don't quote me on that.
Okay, but so he said that, but then you still said that you got faked out, that you thought it was going to be non-elimination. Does Phil lie?
I honestly didn't catch it, but people were tweeting it at me. Like, I think 8 people tweeted it at me. He said, will be eliminated. He usually does say may be eliminated. So yeah, I should have caught that. That was a pretty big clue, but I still didn't want to believe it. Like, I like all 4 of these teams. I wanted them to keep going. I wanted that final 4, and I was really not ready to see either the cheerleaders or the green team go.
Okay. This is from Andy Maki, who says, who got the fishy this week?
All 4 teams got the fishy.
It took a while for Krista, though.
Yeah, it did take a while. I think we got to give the fishy to Logan because she got the fishy prime.
Okay. This is from a Jur Survivor fan who says, was it fair to add the 25 minutes to the penalty? In other legs, they reward teams that think outside the box and get there faster, no?
It was in the clue. I think the bigger lesson you got to take from this is read the clue.
Yeah. So you don't have any issue with the way that they were penalized? You like the enforcement?
I do. I think that was the right call. And I don't know why they were making people go all the way back to Hong Kong Island to get the ferry to Macau. Maybe it was just they were trying to keep everybody bunched so that they wouldn't end up out there for hours and hours. Because I know it was probably pretty hot there. And, you know, Phil was probably not wearing one of those gauzy boob shirts again. So,
Jess, come on.
I've gotten more mileage out of that shirt than I have in many, many episodes. So I'm sorry. That's the funniest thing that's happened all season. And this is a season that includes Justin's hat.
Wow. That's the highlight of the season?
Highlight of the season. Phil's boob shirt.
Okay, then Derek says, this is a good question, I think. Did Kelsey and Logan blow it by not helping Krista, or did they think it was a final 4 anyway? It seemed like, you know, everybody was getting along good. Everybody wants to knock out the green team. Krista, she goes down there. She can't find the fish. Logan found it. Kelsey found it. Seemed like that it should have been somewhat easy to say, like, it was right there. That's where you go. Go right there, Krista.
I mean, they may well have done that and it just wasn't shown, because it seemed like Krista, the first time she came up and didn't get it, she said, I know what to do. And I think it's presumably because she saw Kelsey and Logan do it. So she knew what part of the pool she had to be in. But I think there's not much you can do to help someone with something like this. Like, that's something you have to go down and get that on your own. It's not like they can go down and get it for you.
You feel like that they told her or they showed her where to go and she just couldn't find it a bit, like, as a matter of depth?
I think partly that. And I think they either showed her deliberately or they showed her, you know, by example. But I think there's not much you can do to help someone in a task like this. And even if you could, what are you going to do to help them? Like, and how, like, that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you win $1 million. There's a point when it makes sense to help teams. There's a point when it does not make sense to help teams. And I think this is a point where everybody's got to have their eyes on their own work.
Okay. Then we have also from Coach's Beard, who wants to know, should the green team still be so cocky? I'm not sure if he's talking about now or during the Amazing Race.
Yeah, because now I'm going to say the green team probably isn't so cocky.
If you had to guess.
If I had to guess. It's an interesting way that the season's been bookmarked now, because we have the penultimate leg. We have them, like, fall far behind and start freaking out, only to be saved by one other person's, like, bigger screw-up. And that happened to them in the very first leg, too.
Yeah.
So I think that's some interesting symmetry that we're seeing. Like, you know, terrible leg, great leg, great leg, great leg, great leg, et cetera, terrible leg.
Hmm. So you feel like that there's some sort of, like, bell curve where they peaked in the middle?
Maybe. And maybe they're not going to get it back.
Uh-oh. Peak too soon. You don't want that.
Nobody wants you to peak too soon.
Nobody wants that. Okay. Johnny DeSilvera wants to know, do we know how close the cheerleaders were to getting to the mat in time?
Everybody is very coy about this. Nobody is telling me anything. So I do not know.
I mean, if you had to guess, you think it's close? You think it's not so close and they're trying to make it close? Is that why nobody's saying anything?
I think it was a couple of minutes at least. Like, I don't think it was a sprint to the mat, but I don't necessarily think that they were all standing around for another hour waiting for the cheerleaders to roll in.
Okay. This is a very good question from Eric Colston, who says, that was thrilling. My body is shaking. Was that the most intense penultimate leg ever, Jess?
Yeah, I saw that tweet and I'm like, I know, right? Because I felt the same way. I didn't know how it was going to end. And It was very suspenseful. I don't know if it really was that suspenseful or if that's just really dynamite editing, but either way, you know, kudos, Amazing Race.
Okay. Would you say that it was easily one of the top five penultimate legs?
I don't know. I don't have them ranked. Like, maybe
like a blog entry, Jess.
This makes me a bad expert, but I don't have them on a spreadsheet.
You never ranked the penultimate episodes of The Amazing Race, all 27 of them?
You know, sometimes I go out on Friday nights, Rob.
It wasn't always on Friday nights.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying.
This is only the third penultimate leg on a Friday night.
Okay, fair point. But no, go out other nights of the week, too.
Wow.
You don't know my life.
Okay. Alex G wants to know, is this a case of fan favorites finish fourth at the old FFFF?
You know, that's something that's happened quite a bit on this show. And it's interesting. I don't know that I would necessarily call the cheerleaders fan favorites. They certainly had a lot of fans. They were certainly endearing. I liked them a lot. I liked their positivity. I thought they were a surprisingly strong team, especially after first couple of rocky legs. Like, they definitely had great arc. But they're not necessarily the clear fan favorite here. I don't think we have a clear fan favorite this season. I think we just have a lot of people that hate Justin.
Yeah, who is the fan favorite? Is it Motherboy? Was Motherboy the fan favorite?
I think Motherboy was our favorite.
It's a good poll.
Yeah, it's a good poll. I think my sense is it's going to be very divided because this was a cast full of very strong characters.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, there wasn't one team that jumped out at everybody like, oh my God, these guys are the, you know, they're the stars of the season. Like, we don't have a Blaylee. We don't have a Brooke and Robbie. We don't have a team Cha-Cha-Cha if you want to go way back to the beginning.
Well, Jess, what I do in times like this, I turn to my ultimate resource, and that is the CBS Facebook page for The Amazing Race.
Oh, boy.
And
I can't wait. This is like reading the comments on a political blog.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with this on the Survivor podcast this week. So I'm trying to see what they are liking on this. And I'm seeing a lot of we hate the green team. They're like the Abby Maria.
Did I just tell you that?
Yeah. Let's see. Nothing personal on the green team, but would like to see someone else win a leg for a change. We love the show, but we hate the green team.
Yeah, I told you, Rob. There's not a fan favorite. There's just a lot of people that hate the green team.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who they're saying that they like on the Amazing Race Facebook page.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think there are a lot of teams that are pleasant and a lot of teams that are polarizing. There's not someone that's universally beloved.
Yeah. Somebody just said rigged. All right, so maybe they're onto something.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Amazing Race Facebook page is like, okay, you got us. You got us.
Amazing Race is not rigged.
Guilty as charged. You nailed it.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I'm not really seeing the team that people are saying they love on Facebook.
No, there isn't one.
Why is the guy in the green team always crying? He talks down to everybody, but when he screws up, he's crying. Stop being a butt. Want someone else to win, period.
This is fun. Read more of these.
Damn. The green team is in. Cannot stand him.
All right.
The green team gives people a poor view of Americans. He's a poor lose, not a fair player, and is horrible to people of other cultures. He treats his teammate in an abusive manner. She should be careful about their future.
Now, this is like reading all of those like Breitbart posts that my redneck relatives put on Facebook.
Yeah. All right. So the Facebook page for the Amazing Race will probably rejoice next week if the green team does not win. And maybe might even unlike the page if the green team wins next Friday night. But we will be.
They will stop watching Amazing Race forever. I've had like 5 people tell me I'm never watching the show again because of the green team. And like, yeah, you told me that last week.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are threatening that never going to watch the team again or never going to watch the show again. All right. So then let's take some more questions and let's take one from. Why don't we check in with John Johnson wants to know, who's the best at fooling people, Jeff Probst or Phil?
Phil.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst doesn't try to sell it to anybody.
Well, Jeff Probst did try to fake everybody out about there being a family reward this week.
Yeah, and he was not the least bit successful.
Okay. Well, I told you about that comment that was on the Amazing Race Facebook page, which was just rigged. That was from a woman named Kimberly. But ironically or coincidentally, we got that exact same comment on Twitter from one of our listeners from @RandyBailey1720. Rigged.
Randy Bailey.
Was from an hour ago. That wasn't
rigged just... for whom? Rigged for whom? That's what I want to know, because there is no team that we're all behind.
Yeah.
Like even Phil has like he's got contempt for like 2/3 of these teams. And the third team is kind of like, oh yeah, those guys are still there.
Okay, let's take some more questions. Okay, so Johnny D. Silvera wants to know, when was the last time #TheEdit, are people using that as a hashtag, had us so confused in one episode, non-elimination, different team going? Jess, when was the last time the edit of The Amazing Race got us faked out?
I can't think of a time where I was that sold on something happening that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like this was a big surprise for me. Like off the top of my head, I can't think of one where I was like, you know, maybe there was a time when they had 2 non-elimination legs in a row in one of the very early seasons, and I was like, that can't be. Those guys are out. How are these guys not out?
So it's been 20 seasons since you got fooled by the edit?
I'm sure there have been other times, but that's the one that sticks out.
Yeah, you're getting a little cocky like the green team.
I've always been this cocky, Rob. I'm not getting there. I've been there.
Okay. This is from Mike in Cleveland, wants to know, okay, Jessica, another cab driver kicks team cheerleaders out early. What's the excuse this week?
Oh, that guy. They didn't get kicked out. They left the cab.
Yeah.
And they got kicked out the first time because their cameraman tried to take the headrest off of the front seat of the cab, and the driver did not like that.
Okay. So that's inside baseball.
Yeah, that's inside baseball, but that's what happened. So I don't want to hear anybody else saying that like the cheerleaders must be terrible people because cab drivers hate them. I've gotten kicked out of cabs, Rob.
Hold on. Jess, I feel like we're coming in. I feel like we're coming into this and we don't have all the information you just. So what's going on? So this is the, have you been in a conversation with this person before?
I've been in conversation with a few different people that were telling me that, you know, the cheerleaders getting kicked out of a cab means they're bad racers. There's some like leap of logic here. And people were telling me that because I am a woman, I have blinders on and I can't see when a team of women is racing badly.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yeah. this has come up fairly often. Apparently, like, I just like the teams with boobs. And
so is that why you're such a fan of Phil?
Yeah.
Phil's shirt, at least.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that shirt. I want that shirt all the time because it reminds me of girl power.
Solidarity. Okay. Oh my God. So then I definitely, at least from what I saw tonight, it looked to me like the cheerleaders got out of the cab on their own. They got dropped off where they thought they needed to be. It did not seem to me like they got kicked out of the cab.
Yeah. No, the cab did not kick them out. They kicked themselves out of the cab.
Yeah.
Like that. I think, you know, this is fan fiction here.
Okay. All right, let's take some more questions from John Johnson. Are the cheerleaders bound for the next All-Stars? Jess, did you see enough there that you want to punch their ticket for All-Stars?
I think they definitely are going to, they're going to be on the board for it, at least. They're going to be considered because that's a demographic they're always trying to fill, and I think this is the strongest pro cheerleader pretty girl team we've had in a lot of seasons.
Yeah. They blew the ice kebabes out of the water.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Yeah, if you need to have like your de facto attractive female team, I think that they're got to be under consideration. Last season we didn't have any.
Yeah, Allie and Ashley got their spot blown up. Miami Real Estate, they're totally off the board now.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Well, she's not even married to Drew Rosenhaus anymore. I feel like that was like the claim to fame.
Well, they didn't call themselves Miami Football Wives.
Yeah. All right. Then let's take one from Coach's Beard. It says, if the green team would have come in fourth, would next week have been a Final Four?
No, because show not rigged.
Yeah, nice try. This is from Derek, who says, did Kelsey and Logan blow by not helping Krista? So an interesting tidbit. I see that we have Logan is chatting in our chat room tonight.
Yeah, she says we should read mean tweets about her.
Read mean tweets about her? Well, send us some links. But yeah. So Logan said in the chat that it shouldn't have been on her. She didn't even realize that Krista was in trouble. She was the first person out of the pool. She says that Kelsey should have helped her.
Yeah, that's easy to say when you're in first place and you're just like, see your reporters, how's second place feel? Wait, you already know.
Yeah. So yeah, you stay behind and help these other, help these other people behind. I'll go ahead to the pit stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of like we're back in season 23 territory with like Amy stopping to help Travis and Nicole with things that they can't do.
Yes. Okay. And yeah, congratulations with Jason and Amy announced that Amy is pregnant and they announced the gender of the baby this week. Is that right?
Yeah. They are expecting a girl in April.
Okay. Congratulations. Mazel tov.
Very exciting stuff.
And then from a Juror Survivor fan, will the reporters get redemption by winning the final leg? If not, how big are their chances of getting a new shot in a future season?
I don't think we're going to get them back either way, but I do think they're the ones getting the winner's edit.
Okay. So Logan is suggesting that we look at the hashtag, the paparazzi. To see okay. Some of the mean tweets about the paparazzi from this season. All right,
this is a hard hashtag to spell. They should have pulled out for something better.
Yes, yes. Let's see. Somebody said, "I'll be a little peeved if the paparazzi takes this whole thing. They've whined the whole time. At least Justin has fun." So, wow, a pro Justin tweet on social media.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I'm seeing a lot of well done.
Yeah. So it seems like there's some good and some bad. Patricia, a woman named Patricia on Twitter said, disgusted that hashtag the paparazzi are in the final three. They are contemptible people.
Whoa, contemptible people.
Yeah, boy. I feel like that's like a very old-fashioned mean tweet.
Yeah, this sounds like something that like the Dowager Countess from Downton Abbey would call you. contemptible people.
Confound it. The paparazzi photographers have done it again. They are contemptible.
Curses. I don't know. Maybe that's our hashtag.
Curses? Contemptible. Let's see. I'm trying to find another mean tweet. I don't know, Logan. I'm not finding a lot of mean tweets on maybe another night when they didn't come in first place.
Yeah, I think everybody's congratulating you guys right now. And I mean, that's great. I think maybe people hate Justin a little bit more, so it's more like, wow, you guys did better than Justin. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll keep an eye out.
Okay.
If you see a really good tweet, we'll let you know.
All right.
I know everybody likes to hear it when people are saying terrible things about them on the internet.
All right. So, Jess, let's start to look forward to the finale coming up 1 week from tonight. So call your shot here. You're saying you think you'd like the reporters in first place. Then call your shot here. Who's in second?
Second place, I think. I'm going to say Paparazzi in second place.
Paparazzi. So you think that it's not even a second place finish for Justin and Diana?
I think it's not. I think something happens to Justin and Diana.
What do you mean something happens to them?
Well, not something like they're not dead. I saw them last week, Rob. I think they get into like a Haley situation. Like, I think something happens to turn them around, similar to how it did this week. And I think they're out of the running.
Wow. So just a complete meltdown, you're predicting.
I think so. Like, they're not starting out this leg with a good, you know, immediate record.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see. Next Friday, it'll be a 1 hour finale, right?
Yes, 1 hour.
1 hour, final three teams. Should be very exciting. And so do you know the finale or the final leg city? Is that a spoiler? Yes.
Yeah, well, I actually do know this because for a hot second, I thought they were coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did fly into JFK, and I thought, oh my God, they're going to be in New York. I had to take the day off work. I'm going to stock some razors. They, as it turned out, they did not go anywhere near New York City. The final leg is out in the Hamptons.
The Hamptons. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very excited. Very swanky way to end the Amazing Race.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like, you know, there's some beaches and some boats. At some point, they're wearing fireman pants.
Fireman pants?
Fireman pants. I don't know. Do those have a name? Like, they're just very clearly fireman pants. But the thing that concerns me is whenever I see final leg people, like, in outfits running around, that always says to me that there's some elaborate task that doesn't take any skill, but is more, like, visually interesting, like David Copperfield or, like, jumping out the window. And it's not going to mess the order up at all. And that always makes me unhappy. So I'm hoping there's some skill involved here. And I'm hoping that the order gets mixed up a few times.
Could Team Paparazzi have an edge out in the Hamptons? Could they have maybe been shooting photos out there before?
Yeah, it's possible. They'll be in their element among, like, more Rolls Royces.
Yeah. Are they going to go to P. Diddy's all white party? Is that who throws that?
Yeah. I don't know, Rob. My invite got lost in the mail.
Yeah, somebody throws one of those parties. You have to dress in all white.
Yeah.
All right. Very fun. Jess, what is the hashtag? Is it contemptible?
The chat room is saying they want the hashtag to be show not rigged.
Show not rigged. Okay, good. That's a good show of support for The Amazing Race and its finale 1 week from tonight. Of course, exit interviews coming with the cheerleaders on Monday. Then next week after we watch the finale next Friday night on the 11th, and we'll have exit interviews coming up with the final three teams that following Monday. So a lot of stuff going on here in the next 10 or so days on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, it's going to be action-packed, Rob.
Should be action-packed. Boy, speaking of action-packed, Jess, we had such a fun pair of Survivor podcasts this week. We did a two-part Survivor recap. In our first part, Malcolm Freeberg joined me. He was here in the studio. We talked about everything going on from this season. And he talked about, I don't want to talk about too much about what happened on Survivor this week in case people didn't watch it. But a very fun conversation with Malcolm. And then we did a really funny voicemail show with Ali Lasher, who is the co-host of our MTV Challenge podcast, our wrap-up Bloodlines, because it's blood versus water this season. Ali was very fun as well. You can check those all out on robisawebsite.com or subscribe to the podcast at robisawebsite.com/iTunes.
That's a lot of stuff to listen to, Rob. I haven't even gotten all the way through it.
Yeah, okay.
I've heard it's fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like 3 hours and 45 minutes combined of the two shows, so it's a lot to get through.
Yeah, working a full-time job really cuts into my podcast time.
A lot of people say that they need the podcast to get through their full-time jobs.
Yeah, I put it on at work, but then sometimes my phone rings and I turn it off and I get caught up doing other things. And all of a sudden, where's the day gone? I have podcasts.
Yeah, they start to stack up. Okay, Jess, looking forward to talking to you next week. So you're not doing anything fancy for the finale. We'll be on our regular time.
I'm having a one-person finale party in my apartment. I'm going to order some takeout and open up a bottle of wine and see this through to the bitter end.
Okay, sounds nice. We will see you next Friday night. And don't forget our exit interviews coming early next week on Rob Has a Podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.